While college comes with expected expenses, like tuition, for example, books, another thing, the cost of day-to-day life is part of the equation as well. A new report reveals that after education expenses are dealt with, there's very little left for actual living, such as, how about food? With us now to analyze the findings of the New Jersey Community College's hashtag Real College Survey is the Outreach Director for Hunger Free New Jersey, Lisa Pitts. How are you today, Lisa?
I'm fine, Chris. Thank you.
And thank you for being here, bringing attention to what's, for you listening, is going to be rather shocking numbers when you get into the report. To learn more about Hunger Free New Jersey, their website is hungerfreenj.org. And learn more about not just New Jersey, but this report is done for other states as well. If you're listening on stream, you can go to hope4college.com and find the report for the state for you. So what is the goal of this report, Lisa?
I think the goal of the report is really to educate both the public and policymakers about the very real issue of hunger and food insecurity and also housing insecurity on college campuses throughout our nation and, of course, right here in New Jersey.
And you use the term hunger insecure, food insecurity. Define what that is.
Food insecurity is when people do not have adequate access to nutritious food that they need to live a healthy and productive life. It's a newish term, really, that just really means hunger, people who experience hunger.
Then as far as the participation in this poll, it was 17 of New Jersey's 18 community colleges, and unlike some of the political polls we see where it's like 500 people, maybe 1,000 people, there were over 9,000 students that responded to this poll. So this is a pretty heavily weighted poll with a lot of input as opposed to surveys and reports that we typically see, Lisa.
Yes, there were quite a few of our community colleges that responded. And yes, over 9,100 students responded to the survey. And of those students that responded, nearly 40% reported being food insecure within the last 30 days.
That's a lot of people. Now, when we say, I mean, this isn't going without food all the time, but there are instances where there's a percentage where people do say that, yeah, I've gone at least a day without a meal.
Yes, food insecurity often looks like, you know, people can't afford to eat balanced meals or, you know, they can't afford nutritious food. They're worried about whether their food will run out before they get their next paycheck to buy more. They cut the size of meals or skip meals because there's not enough money for food. You know, so it's those kinds of things that really define food insecurity.
There's even a response, too, that I lost weight because there was not enough money for food. 16% of the respondents said that. So this is a health issue as well as an education issue, because if you're hungry, we've seen studies over the years that going without food or going with inadequate amount of nutritious food, that affects your learning capabilities.
Absolutely. This is a health issue. It's an education issue. You know, students really cannot focus and learn if their basic needs are not met. And we know that, you know, when basic needs like food are not met, oftentimes students, you know, can't even complete their studies.
There's also, the report also talks about the housing insecurity as well, which we always get this image that, you know, six kids get a room together and make means that way. But there's instances not paying full amount of utilities. They had didn't pay amount the full amount of rent or mortgage. I mean, a student is bad enough, and not having the money to buy food is bad enough. But that just complicates the situation when you have to worry about housing, and there's not always the outlet for that. So it's just it just sounds like it's a lot of pressure going on students at a time when the necessity of learning is enough pressure for them.
That's exactly right. And it's all connected. You know, the high cost of housing in our state, you know, the cost of food, the cost of tuition, the cost of books, the cost of fees, you know, it's all connected to each other. And, you know, yes, students, you know, people often get the image that, oh, a college student, you know, eating ramen noodles and, as you said, living doubled and tripled up in an apartment with, you know, three or four other college students. I mean, that's not really what we're talking about here. What we're talking about are a lot of students, many traditional students who've, you know, grown up in households that are really struggling, low-income working households, These were the kids that when they were in, you know, primary school, they were getting the free and reduced price meals at school. And once they graduate from high school, they no longer have access to those meals. We're also talking about non-traditional students, you know, adults, often single parents, returning to school to get a degree or get a certificate so that they can better their lives and the lives of their children.
We also have to say, too, that a lot of these cases, these are students getting in-state tuition, which lowers the cost of education to a point. But maybe this is a wake-up call on a whole other matter for another time of how colleges have to really take a look at what they're charging for tuition and whether or not they're making it more prohibitive than inviting for students to explore higher education on community college as well as private college situations. If you look at the breakdown of these numbers, you mentioned the overall food insecurity number, Lisa, but racially, are there vast disparities in that insecurity level?
Yes, the study showed that students of color and non-traditional students were more likely to experience food insecurity.
And it's not because these kids don't work. A lot of these students facing food insecurity at least try to hold down a job, not working full time because, you know, you sort of like to have time to sleep as well. But there are a lot of these students holding jobs up to 30 hours a week, but nevertheless just aren't coming through with the money that they need.
Absolutely. The students that I have met and worked with over the years, the vast majority of those students have at least a part-time job. Many of them are working work-study jobs on campus, in addition to jobs off campus, you know, pulling a full-time course load at school, you know, having to get all their schoolwork done. And then oftentimes they have other family obligations as well. As I said, many of the students are adult learners, you know, with families of their own to provide for.
Talking with Lisa Pitts, who is the outreach director for Hunger Free New Jersey, about the New Jersey Community College's hashtag Real College Survey, hungerfreenj.org. And if you're listening on the stream from other states, you can find reports for your state as well at hope and then the number 4college.com. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Some would say, hearing these figures, Lisa, well, they got these programs for this, got these federal programs, state programs for that, SNAP program, housing assistance. Students are either not aware of these programs or they're not participating in these programs to any serious degree, apparently, by the results of this survey.
Yes. You know, a lot of college students are not necessarily eligible for some of these programs. You know, they may earn slightly over what the income limit is, let's say, for example, for SNAP, formerly known as food stamps. Many students really don't know about the availability of the programs, or they don't think that they're eligible when, in fact, they likely are. The state has done a lot to improve access to SNAP for college students, including a recent policy change that would allow for community college students who are enrolled in certain vocational technical courses of study or Perkins-funded courses of study, they can count those course hours towards the work requirements for SNAP. So that will make SNAP much more accessible to more community college students.
Which, by the way, SNAP isn't a cure-all. It's very limited funds, again, based on income. And when they say a dollar ceiling, they mean that a dollar, 50 cents over, and legitimately you could be exempted from the program. Now, I know that last year the state created the Hunger Free Campus Act, but apparently more needs to be done.
Yes, the Hunger Free Campus Act is a really good start. What that does is that allocate some funds for public colleges and universities to really begin to put together plans, more long-term action plans and solutions to food insecurity on college campuses. So colleges all over the state could apply for, you know, put grant applications in for those funds, and then they will use those funds once awarded to, you know, come up with various ways to address hunger, everything from starting campus food pantries to, you know, creating, you know, opportunities for students to access fresh produce on campus, to doing SNAP outreach and education, and even designating people on the college campuses to help students to fill out the online SNAP application.
There was a student, I'm going off the top of my head here, it's always a dangerous thing, but I think it was at Ramapo College, they actually started a food pantry on the campus and has made a big difference.
Yes, more and more college campuses, both community colleges, four-year institutions, public and private institutions, have food pantries now available for students where they can come and get, food, either a grab-and-go kind of situation where students can come in and get something to have for lunch, something they can prepare right there on campus, in addition to, getting food that they can take home, that they can use to prepare meals at home for themselves and for their families.
Also know, too, that your organization, Hunger Free New Jersey, is going to be part of a statewide coalition that is going to build upon the programs that we've already talked about and hopefully raise awareness among the student bodies.
Yes, we actually had our first meeting yesterday, and Hunger Free New Jersey is partnering with the New Jersey Council of County Colleges, really spearheaded this, and it will be a statewide coalition that will bring together community colleges, community-based organizations, and state and local government to really work together to not only share best practices, but really develop an action plan so that we can continue to work on this issue and come up with long-term solutions to the problem.
It's called the New Jersey Community Colleges Hashtag Real College Survey. We've linked to the report from New Jersey on our site. If you're listening on the stream, find the report for your state at hope4college.com. Learn more about the efforts, the work, and how you can support all of the above with Hunger Free New Jersey. Their website is hungerfreenj.org. We've been joined by their outreach director, Lisa Pitts. Lisa, thanks so much for the awareness you're raising on this very important issue for the obvious reasons. And thank you as well for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.